Looking at some things regarding the age or the ages to come. One of the reasons I wanted to pursue this is because in understanding what we're going to be looking at, it really helps tremendously with some seemingly difficult scriptures, which we'll get to. But the challenge comes in really appreciating some of this, again, in the way that Aeon Word Group has been translated. We're not going to go through all the uses, and I don't want to get too Greeky. That this isn't the format for that. But it is translated a number of different ways. I think I handled last week, it's translated world, everlasting, forever, eternal. When it's used with a negative no, like ooh or may, it's translated never. So it gets a little challenging, a little difficult, and it can cause some misunderstanding in some of the scriptures. So I think it's going to be really neat. Last week, before we begin, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's where we're going to start eventually here. But last week, we finished with that scripture in Hebrews and saw that it was by the obedience of Jesus Christ, it was through Jesus Christ that God framed or prepared the ages. It was around his accomplishments and all that he redeemed. It's just amazing what it is that Jesus Christ accomplished. And it is through Jesus Christ that he prepared these ages, and it is through those ages to come that he is going to exhibit, he's going to display his grace to us in his kindness toward us. It's I don't know all that that's going to look like, but it's going to be good. And we also saw again how Jesus Christ is seated far above every principality, power, might, name that's named, not only in this age now, but in that which is to come. And we also saw that this current age is a dark, a perverse age. In the King James, with that word nation in Philippians is translated from age. And we, in this age, shine as lights, holding the word. When we hold the word, we shine as lights in this dark and perverse age. What I want to do here is we're going to sort of take kind of a bird's eye view of some things. And it's going to be like a brief consideration. We're going to come back and we'll get into some of these a little bit more. But we're going to touch on what is referred to in the word and often is translated everlasting or eternal life. Really, a better understanding or a more accurate understanding would be life of the age. There are places where this word's used where the time period that's being discussed, you need to pay attention to context. I'm going to keep this kind of simple. We're just going to do an overview. But I wanted to open here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this is speaking. Let's start in verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now," verse 10, "made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and have brought to light, have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is a remarkable section of scripture here. This word world is the word for age. It's translated from the word aeon. And it is speaking regarding what God has done, the calling that he's called us with before the age began. Okay, before the age began. Understanding that it is by way of Jesus Christ that God prepared the ages. Okay, the beginning of the age that is being referenced here and shows up many places in God's word is that age that began with the exiting of man from the garden. Just prior to God declaring that sentence of Adam's transgression and the result of that transgression, he made a promise, he made a vow that that promised seed, see, would redeem, it would crush the head of the serpent one day. And that is what is being referenced here. When Jesus Christ was referenced before this age began. In another place, it's before the overthrow of the world. In Ephesians. Again, we're just going to take a bird's eye view of this, but it's important to understand that. The age that's being referred to here. I want to show you another one in Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. This is such a great chapter. This is that time when the angel came and spoke to John, and then months later came and spoke to Mary and regarding the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's just, it's great stuff. But I want to read a verse here for our purposes. Let's start in verse 68. This is Zacharias, after his tongue was loosed. And it says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, in verse 68, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. This is in reference to the Christ. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the age began. See? It was Jesus Christ is the subject of God's word, and we're going to see a little bit more about that. I don't know about today, but as we get into this, because we're going to look and see how that Jesus Christ is the life. Jesus Christ has been given the authority to give the life of the age. It's pretty neat stuff. But just in light of this age that we live in, Jesus Christ has conquered death. It is not fully realized yet, but that day is coming. Now, with these things in mind, I want to show you something else in Matthew chapter 21. This is an example of context. And this can really help to open up some scriptures for you, I think. It has for me. You guys are all familiar with this record. This is his entry. He had cursed a tree the day before. On their way back into Jerusalem, they saw that it was dead. They marveled. And here, as he's entering into Jerusalem, he curses another one, again teaching them about believing. But this one dies immediately. And so the record is, now in the morning, as he returned into the city, this would be Jerusalem, he hungered. I'm sorry, verse 18, Matthew 21, 18. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently or immediately the fig tree withered away. Okay. The words that are translated forever are words that literally mean for the age or in the age. No fruit grow on thee for the age. Now, the context determines what age is speaking of. It's the context or the time in which this tree had lived. See? And for this age, that tree will never produce fruit again. There's another one I want to show you in Matthew. Matthew. Matthew 24. I want to show you something regarding this age and its end. And again, we're just going to take a cursory glance at it for now. Another scripture where world, age is translated world, is in Matthew 13, where it's the sower and the seed. And the one, he receives the word, and, you know, he with joy. But then what happens is the cares, meaning the distractions of this world, and the word world is age, the distractions of this age, it chokes the word out from that man or that woman's heart. See, again, it's that word aeon, but it's this age. It's very clear. In Matthew chapter 24, we're just going to look at a couple scriptures here that show that this age that we live in is going to come to an end. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" The word world is the word age. What will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? I want you to turn, in light of this, to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to go a little further down from that sower and the seed parable, and we're going to pick it up in verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Another parable put he forth unto them," Matthew 13, 24, "saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." So here's an illustration regarding the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." This was a deliberate act by an enemy. "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So this is an illustration, a parable. But I want you to go down to verse 36, and this is where he begins to explain this parable that he just told these men. Then Jesus, "sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age." The word world is the word age. "And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age." Isn't that something? Well, let's just keep reading. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. See. Verse 49 is the end of another parable, but it, again, it's talking about the end of this age, and so shall it be at the end of this age. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. So there is an end to this age. Now I want you to turn to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. So you've seen that there are some places where this word's used where you've got to pay attention to context. Regarding the age in which we live, this began with the expulsion of Adam from the garden. And from that point forward, Jesus Christ is the subject of God's word. Of whom God prepared the ages to come. It's pretty amazing. But I want you to turn to Matthew 19. And here's an example of where this word is translated everlasting. And let's pick it up. Let's just read verse 29. No, we got to read verse 28. Yeah, 27. Okay. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's interesting, that word that's translated regeneration from the Greek texts, the Aramaic uses the words that would be understood as New Age, when the New Age is come. Verse 29, and everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Literally, you could translate this as life of the age. It is the life of the age. Now, we're going to take some time, not today, but we're going to take some time considering some characteristics of the life of the age that's being referred to here. It's really awesome to understand that. But I want you to turn to another familiar scripture, John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. It's used here. John chapter 3, you guys know this one by heart. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the Greek, it's literally zoe aionios, and it's life of the age, or life pertaining to the age. Then it says in verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have the life of the age. See? Now I want you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 5. Now we're going to come back to this section down the road a little bit. But again, I just want to do kind of a I'm just endeavoring to do an overview of this word and how it's used And how it points toward that life of the age. It's pretty remarkable. And the word teaches a number of things about that. And we can learn a lot about that life of the age from reading what's addressed to the church. And we'll see that. We'll see that as we go. But I want to go to John chapter 5. And we'll be coming back to this chapter. But I wanted to read a couple verses for our purposes today. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, or has the life of the age, and shall not come in to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Okay. Whoso believes on, or hears my word and believes on him that sent me, has the life of the age. Okay. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26, 4. As the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is that life. He's the firstborn from the dead. Jesus Christ is the first to have this life of the age among men. Isn't that something? See? And all that believe on him have the life of the age. And this is really important to understand. You know, the church, at the times to which these scriptures in the Gospels are addressing, the mystery of the gathering of the church, which we're going to spend some time with, hadn't been revealed. See? But again, just as we looked at last week, for you and I, that life of the age will begin with our gathering under the Lord Jesus Christ, the gathering of the church. Isn't that amazing? So, all who hear his words and believe on him that sent him has this life of the age. I want you to turn, with these things in mind, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we're actually almost done. You know, as we look at this, and we look in not great detail, but some detail regarding the resurrection of the just and unjust, and some of these things, there's a day coming when all will be raised from the dead, all who have ever lived. It says in Philippians that every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And while all are raised, not all will inherit the life of the age. There's something to think about. but they will, they won't inherit the life of that age. But you and I cannot be in that category ever, because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, I want you to turn to John 14, and we are going to read a verse here. And this is near the time where Jesus Christ is going to give himself over to be crucified. And he's with his men, and he's teaching them. This is such a great period, this evening that he spent with his men prior to going into the garden where he prayed to the Father to remove this cup, but he couldn't. And had to do it. But in John chapter 14, in teaching them, it says in verse 16, "And I will pray," or request, "the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." This word "another" is another of the same kind. Another comforter. "That he may abide with you forever." Now, in the next verse is going to go on to explain this comforter. And then we're going to come back to this verse 16. "That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless." And I think the ESV, there's at least the ESV, but it's from the word orphanos, and they translate this, "I will not leave you as orphans." Jesus Christ was going to hand himself over. He was going to be crucified. God was going to raise him from the dead 3 days and three nights later. He spent some time in his resurrected body, but he ascended. But he said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans." And this comforter that I'm sending is that Spirit of truth. See? Well, that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And we'll look at that a little bit down the road here too. But that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. See? But up in verse 16, I want to read this again. It says, "And I will request the Father, and he shall give you another of the same kind, comforter." And that word comforter means a helper, an encourager. All those things that the Spirit of God does for a man, for a woman. And then it says that he, or it, should read, "it might abide with thee," or with you, "forever." Forever. And that's those words, Zoe Aionios. And it means, Eiston Aeon. I was reading the wrong verse. And it means "for the age." Isn't that something? See? "And it," this Spirit of God, this Spirit, this Comforter, "will abide with you for the age." Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Ephesians, and I think it's pretty easy to figure out what age is talking about. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We could spend a lot more time with this one. You remember we read in John that all who have heard the words of Jesus Christ and believed on him that sent him have that life of the age. It's really cool. And here we just read about that comforter that Jesus Christ was sent. And it was Jesus Christ that shed forth this, which you both now see and hear on the day of Pentecost. You go back and read it. It was Jesus Christ who poured out that Holy Spirit that was received by those 12 on the day of Pentecost when they spoke in tongues. Which was that sign that the Spirit of God for the first time had been given and born within men. See, and they were the first to be in Christ and part of this body of Christ. Really remarkable. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, and I of course didn't write down the verse, but we're going to start in verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in," and it should read "Christ," "which he hath purposed in Christ, that in the dispensation," or the administration, "of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will." And you know, and as we continue with this, we're going to see that at least part of this inheritance is that life of the age. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trust or previously hoped in Christ, in whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit of promise, that which was promised. We read one place in the Gospel of John. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ brings it up again. But you shall be baptized with Spirit not many days hence, and you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and all over the place. Isn't that something? So here it's regarding that Holy Spirit of promise. And then it says that Holy Spirit of promise, here it is, verse 14, which is the earnest. And that word earnest is translated from a word that means token. It means deposit. It's a deposit on what's coming. It's a token of what will be. See, that Holy Spirit of promise, which has been shed, which has been poured out, is a token. It's the deposit of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. See, isn't that something? You and I have believed on Jesus Christ. Now, in this age, we have the Word of God that we hold on to. And we also have the Spirit of God that we walk by. See, and that Spirit of God, it's by way of that Spirit of God that God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, it's by way of that Spirit of God that we can manifest the power of God and make known the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? But of all the things that we are able to do and what God has called us to do, these things are just a token, see, of what's coming in the future. And as we look at some of the characteristics of this life of the age, we're going to see that. This life that we have now, this deposit, this token, is spirit. That life of the age that's coming will also be spirit. It's pretty remarkable to see. So that's what I want to share for now. Just this kind of overview of this word. And, you know, and if you get a chance, maybe go back over some of these scriptures. And then we'll get into some of these things. So, amen. Amen. I think I'm going to pray.